Welcome back to Word of Mouth. Despite the makeover from the popular HBO series 6 Feet Under, morticians are still haunted by images of tall, spindly old men in threadbare suits and top hats. Or barring that, just a little creepy. Caitlin Doughty is doing her best to update the stereotypes and add a little transparency to an occupation typically operating behind thick velvet curtains. She's the young, hip, LA-based and clearly humorous host of Ask a Mortician. It's a series on YouTube. And she joins us now to answer a few of our questions. Caitlin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what inspired you to create Ask a Mortician?
Well, I've been in the industry for about 4 years, and I get asked questions everywhere, you know, on the plane, at parties, in the bathroom, everywhere. And I have a website, and I decided that it would be a great sort of supplement to that just to have a fun YouTube channel where I could just answer people's questions in a sort of lighthearted but respectful way.
It's fun, but there's a philosophy behind it. Do you have a goal with these videos in your website?
Absolutely, yeah. Having been in the industry, more and more I see that how divorced we are from death in America is kind of a real problem. And I'm very much interested in bringing back death not only into culture, but really into the hands of the people who are experiencing it, as opposed to having morticians, you know, sort of come in the night and take away the body and you never see it, you never interact with it. So the website and the YouTube series and everything is all sort of to the idea of bringing death and making it less, you know, less offensive in our culture.
Mm. It does have a definite camp quality. Here's the opening theme to the YouTube series.
Ask a Mortician.
So it's a little gothy, a little fun. You slowly pull off your hood and then give us a very cheery smile. Have you received any complaints about, I'm going to say it, treating a grave subject with such a light air?
You know, I was actually expecting a lot more backlash than there's been. I was expecting a lot, you know, people to say, how dare you talk about death so openly? You know, how dare you talk about it on something like YouTube? But the response has been really, really positive. People, you know, for the most part are like, thank you so much for saying these things and thank you so much for answering these questions. It hasn't been, I guess there was one guy who was like, you know, this is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. How dare you say this? I'm a mortician and I'm horribly offended. But for the most part, people seem to really enjoy it.
So how did you become interested in this as a career?
Well, I did. I was a medieval historian in college and, obviously a lot of death in the medieval period.
Right.
And so it was very much an academic interest. And then after I graduated, I started to think about the fact that I could actually work, as opposed to just seeing death as a sort of far away thing that I was studying, as something that I could actually really do. And actually, you know, there were actually people working in death, and I didn't know any of them, but it was absolutely possible to get a job in the field. And so I just sort of was plucky and went out and made sure that it happened.
What are some of the questions that you are frequently asked?
A lot of people are actually asking how to become a mortician, and that's another episode that I'm going to do.
Huh.
I think a lot of people don't even think of it as an option, but maybe when they see me saying, like, I love my job, it's great, it's fantastic, hopefully they're inspired to be interested in it. A lot of people are interested in just basic death things that, you know, go on every day, but, you know, like embalming or cremation, but they don't know anything about because it is kind of a hidden process.
So how about the weirdest question you've ever been asked?
Well, there's no weird questions, but there's been some really interesting ones. One person asked if we can make jewelry with artery and tendons.
Oh, my.
One person asked, you know, if we, you know, wanted to bring grandmother's skull home from the cremation and put it on the mantle, could do that. You know, so a lot of things that, you know, popular culture myths, things like that. Do you burn all the bodies at once, et cetera?
I think, you know, a lot of people who've been touched closely by death, as I have lost someone very dear to me, that idea of, you know, we almost wish we had those Victorian mourning rituals
or that we
could wear black and be given a much wider berth, you know, just sort of a different kind of attention. And I'm just, you know, having worked in the industry, the way that we look at death now, it is so far removed from the real process. Is that what you're trying to get at here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, you know, even 100 years ago, everybody was very much involved with the death. You know, the person would die in the home. You would be there when they die. You would help shroud them. You would wash the body. You would wake them in your home, and then you would carry them to the grave. and put them in. And there would be ritual and meaning and all these things that once you take the body away and you take the mourning away, you're kind of just left there saying, okay, I have this grief, but I don't know how to define it. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. Am I allowed to cry? I don't remember the body. You know, all these things that are taking us away from this old ritualistic way of doing things.
You come face to face with mortality each day. Do you think that changes the way that you look at your own life?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's drastically, drastically changed the way that that I look at my life. My relationships are much, much richer. The way that I look at the things that I do in my daily life is very different. And it's not necessarily the case with everyone in the industry. Some people, you know, there's a lot of alcoholism in the industry. This is not a, you know, this is not, of course, everyone. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of problems in the industry with people maybe not dealing with the grief correctly because it is a really difficult job. But I think that if you're interacting with it in the right way, it can have an incredibly positive effect on your life.
Well, Caitlin, thanks for opening it up to us today.
Well, thank you so much.
Caitlin Doty, a mortician working in Los Angeles. She's founder of the Order of the Good Death.com. There is a link to that website and to her videos at wordofmouthradio.org. And you can follow us on this plane on Facebook and on Twitter. Holiday movies offer a brief respite from the seasonal rush of family, food, gifting, and for one blockbuster series, humanity. Over the Thanksgiving holiday, Breaking Dawn Part 1 was by far the box office champ. The third installment in the Twilight saga has raked in more than $500 million since it opened 2 weeks ago. At that time, many twihards, as devotees are called, camped out near theaters in anticipation of midnight showings across the country. Critics have not been so rabid. One advocated for putting a stake in the franchise. That has not stopped merchandisers from creating a far-ranging assortment of Twilight-ish products. We asked producer Taylor Quimby to survey some of the glittering and peculiar items being marketed towards fans. Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
So, before we talk about the Breaking Dawn products currently on the market, keeping in mind that the saga is far from over
right,
yet,
more to come.
I should ask you, have you seen the movie?
I have to admit, I haven't. I saw the first movie, Twilight, on DVD. I think it was 2009, and because I couldn't keep myself from expressing indignation at certain perceived fronts to vampire mythology, I think they can be in sunlight, but they sparkle, which is why they don't. And also, most of the main characters live in Seattle because of the cloud cover,
right?
So that they don't sparkle. I mean, that was a tough sell for me.
But I guess you have a Twilight sort of authority close by.
I do. My other half, Tiffany, took her sister to see Breaking Dawn last week, so I was able to get a brief synopsis of the film from her. But listeners should be warned, we're heading into major spoiler territory. So plug your ears if you don't want to hear what happens.
Do you think you can try and sum up the plot of Breaking Dawn in, you know, like 20 words or less?
In 20 words or less.
Okay, 30 words or less.
Okay, so here it goes. They get married, honeymoon, sex, pregnant, she almost dies, she comes back as a vampire. End of the movie.
Whoa, that's about the most brief summary I've heard so far. Thank you very much to Tiffany for that.
Right, yeah. She did a really good job with that.
I don't think that's giving away any more than we've seen in many of the reviews, by the way. But there is a lot more to this story. The Twilight t-shirts, stickers, backpacks, and the books and the all sort of related DVDs. But what else is out there for Twilight products?
Well, I personally would divide Twilight merchandise into three different categories. First is what I'm calling the false idols. And I think these range anywhere from vaguely innocent-sounding Twilight Barbies to the highly suspect Edward Cullen body pillow, or Manlo, as it's advertised on Etsy. For those of you who don't know, Edward Cullen is Twilight's vegetarian vampire heartthrob, played by Robert Pattinson, who coincidentally starred in actually another multi-film franchise. He played Cedric Diggory in the Harry Potter films. And to be fair, they have also inspired some pretty weird products, like I think there's the Harry Potter sock yarn, but I think that's so much less creepy than a life-sized vampire-shaped pillow of Edward Cullen, which, I might add, sold out.
Oh.
Also on my list of false idols is the Edward Cullen shower curtain, a nice touch if you want to recreate the shower scene from Psycho on a daily basis, and of course, the full-sized cardboard cutout. I think that's kind of a classic, this time of Taylor Lautner, who in the film plays the young werewolf Jacob Black.
All right, so body pillow for young teenage girls, presuming. What else? Makeup?
Good guess. I've more or less lumped beauty and fashion products into the second category, and there's a few things to talk about here. Some of this stuff is disturbing for obvious reasons, and I'm thinking about the glow-in-the-dark soap with Edward's face on it.
Another creative soul thought to paste a tiny photoshopped Edward Bella love scene onto a single Scrabble tile and make a necklace out of it. I thought that was really dashing.
And showing some sort of can-do spirit, I suppose.
Exactly. Very creative.
But these aren't the mass-produced products available on the rack of the big box stores. These are pieces of handmade fan merchandise. If people don't know Etsy, it is a website for crafting.
Absolutely. And there's other stuff on eBay that there's, you know, probably only a handful of these made by some real diehard fans. But not all of it. Twilight's author Stephanie Meyer helped to design one of the official Twilight tie-ins, a replica of Bella's engagement ring from the film.
An engagement ring from Twilight.
There is actually three versions of the ring. So the highest priced, obviously made with diamonds, is about $2,000. And then there's two versions with cubic zirconium, one at about $500 and the other at about a very reasonable price of $35.
All right, now the third category of Twilight merchandise. Do I want to know what that is?
Well, as you might have guessed, everything else falls into sort of this amorphous, miscellaneous pile. This is where you'd find the Breaking Dawn baking dish, which says Baking Dawn. Took me a little while to see that, actually. The reusable Twilight baby diapers. Tiffany was actually pretty excited about those. We do have a three-month-old. Twilight toilet paper and probably the weirdest is the Twilight condoms, which, by the way, I feel obligated to mention my personal opinion. I don't think you should trust a condom marketed after a film in which a teenager is unexpectedly impregnated by a vampire.
All right, so it is tough for me to ask. I mean, this stuff must sell.
The truth is, absolutely. I asked Tiffany the same question, being that she is a Twilight fan, and she had a pretty valid response, although, as you can hear, I was in a little bit of denial. Do you think people buy this stuff? I mean, if they make...
Of course people buy these things. It's like the same thing when people did, like, Lord of the Rings. There's still people, like, obsessed with, like, other movies.
Yeah, but
like
it's not the same, because Lord of the Rings is cooler.
I didn't say that it wasn't cooler. I'm just saying that it's like this, on the same lines and stuff. When people get like obsessed about something, it's like the same idea. Star Wars, all those things. People dress up like them.
No. But Star Wars is cooler too.
Oh my God.
Okay, Taylor, what I'm hearing here is you're saying science fiction cool, Twilight not. I mean, this is a franchise that is primarily marketed and sold to teenage girls and their mothers, it seems. I think there's a lot of mom-daughter kind of bonding over Twilight going on. So it's just not cool as far as you're concerned.
She's absolutely right. The only reason I haven't dressed up as a hobbit for Halloween is because I haven't gotten the chance. In my defense, Twilight has inspired, I think, some admirably crazy fans. There's a YouTube clip that might give you an idea. This is a woman who filmed herself watching the trailer for Breaking Dawn for the first time. And remember, this is before the movie hit theaters.
I don't even know where to start. I'm actually really nervous about this, and I don't even know what to say. Same old rules. Turn your speaker down. Please don't watch the video if you don't like swearing, because I will be. Oh my God, I just have to watch it now. I've waited so long for this. Breaking Dawn trailer. Full screen. I don't have the wedding in mind! No!
So that's...
Well, I don't know what's odder, that she's doing it or that she chooses to show this of herself on a video.
Well, and that's what I thought, but I guess, you know, they're proud. They're proud Twilight fans, proud to buy Edward Cullen Manlows.
Well, Taylor, you're clearly not a 13-year-old girl, but we still appreciate you doing such due diligence on figuring out what was out there for the Twilight fan.
Well, thank you for having me. And I should add that these were all, of course, my own opinions, and they don't reflect NHPR or anybody
else. It's board of directors.
Exactly.
Okay, you can go back to your desk now.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Taylor Quimby there, our producer and self-identified non-Twihard. For links to some of the surprising and, dare I say, disturbing Twilight swag he found around the web, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby, Virginia Prescott,
and Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction
from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's Vice President of Programming,
and web support from Brady Carlson
and Courtney Kenya.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals,
not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.
For information about the show,
to subscribe to our podcast, post a comment,
or to read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at Word of Mouth.
We should do like a thing where we go,
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Whoa, totally out of breath there. I'm going to try that again.